How about we start right here? Help wanted. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." So for those who are rapidly turning to that scripture, I have bad news for you. That is not today's main text. I just kind of figured riding up and down 250, everybody else in the universe has put out a help wanted sign. So I thought we should let you see what Jesus' help wanted sign looked like. And here's the amazing thing, as you do look at that scripture, you do understand Jesus never had a problem finding sheep. Everywhere he went, there were sheep. Everywhere he turned, there were sheep. Jesus never, ever, ever had a problem finding sheep. What did he have a problem for? Finding the shepherds to look after the sheep. Finding the people that were willing to take their life and pour it into the sheep. You see, that's the problem. And so Jesus looks at his disciples, which kind of went everybody that was around. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Pray for him. Pray for some shepherds." I wonder how many of them have ever thought about the fact that when you start praying for a shepherd, you just volunteered to be a shepherd. Because God is going to change your heart the moment you say, "God, send a shepherd." And if you think about it, each and every one of those disciples, they became shepherds to the sheep. So we're closing out our year with this sheepish sermon series. That's hard to say. Sheepish sermon series. Try saying that one 10 times fast. It's not a series about sheep, but instead it is a series about becoming a shepherd. Next week, our series will take a turn through Christmas. But right now, I'd just like to sort out the three lessons that I've already given you. Lesson one, very important lesson. To be a shepherd, you must have a sheep. No sheep, no shepherd. If you have no sheep that you're leading, then you may not take on the title of shepherd. Lesson two, having a sheep does not make you a shepherd. To be a shepherd, you must actually be committed to the sheep. You can't be a thief. You can't be just a hired hand. You actually have to get a shepherd's mentality and be committed to the sheep. And lesson three, being committed to the sheep requires us to take action in the sheep's life. You can't commit yourself to a sheep and then crawl underneath your haystack and say, "Yeah, I'm tired." It's going to take time and it's going to take energy. So let's talk about this notion. Let's see how long it takes you to fall asleep. We can all imagine this, right? Maybe you've had a sleepless night and you've spent some time doing this. We see it in TVs. We see it in cartoons. We see it in comics. The idea of counting sheep to fall asleep. And despite how culturally we are aware of this image that we are, nobody really knows why somebody thinks counting sheep are the way you're supposed to fall asleep. Some attribute it to the story's origin back to the medieval Britain times, where shepherds who used communal grazing land were obligated to keep track of their sheep, thus forcing them to count their sheep each and every night before they went to bed. Another possible origin is a legend that tells of a king who had a storyteller who told him one tale every night. After a day of taxing royal affairs, he asked the storyteller to tell him more because one wasn't enough. The storyteller obliged by sharing a story of a countryman who brought 2,000 sheep at the market. But after realizing there was no bridge to bring them home, he found a little boat and planned to transfer them over two at a time, counting as he went to make sure he had his whole flock. And while we see this as a means of bringing ourselves to sleep, for a shepherd, counting sheep was essential. And the larger the flock, the more he had to count. One, two, three, and he couldn't fall asleep on the job. He had to just keep counting. Something else I'd like for you to ponder this morning, Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you have done to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Very familiar story, and we stop here because I need you to pick something up really quick. How did Jesus identify his sheep? There was a simple thing. Jesus identified his sheep because his sheep were the sheep, or that were the sheep that took care of other sheep. All of them. Isn't that what he said? When you've taken care of the least of these, you have taken care of what I want you to take care of. Do it as you would do it to me. You see, Jesus' sheep all had the same title. They were all shepherd sheep. Sheep that had joined the flock as a sheep, but God never left not one single one there. He always had the idea that, you know what? We're supposed to be looking after sheep. That's a long introduction. We're still not to the main text yet. How about we go here? Seeking lost sheep. Jesus told a counting story. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Then Jesus said to them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who do not repent. How did the owner know how many sheep there should be? Obviously, somewhere in the past he had counted them. How did the owner know that one was missing? Well, obviously, he counted them on a regular basis. And you know what? This still isn't the main text. I stopped here because we need to pick up something else that we need to learn. Counting sheep is not enough. If you count, but you take no action, counting is a useless exercise. What I need you to see is the shepherd counted, and once the number didn't add up, he took action because something was wrong. One was missing. He went looking for the missing one. Now, I don't think he just left the other 99 wandering around the field. He probably took them to the sheep pen, put them somewhere safe, and maybe he had his hired hand say, "Look, can you just keep them safe for now? I got to go find that one that's missing. Because you know what? I counted, and there's something wrong." And this is a important idea for us because you know what? We have sheep all the time that go missing. We do. And we spend a lot of time counting sheep. We do it every time we come here on Sunday morning. We count how many people are sitting here. When we have an event, we count how many people are here. And usually we take those numbers and we put them in a bulletin, we put them somewhere, and then we move on from them. But you understand, we're not supposed to be counting to see who's here. Counting should be because we're worried about the ones that are not. And they should become our focus because they're not here. We should be out looking for sheep. And we should be concerned about why the sheep are missing because this shepherd didn't stop until the sheep were found. So the question we're going to try to answer today, and there is no main text, we're going to bounce around a whole bunch. Yeah, this is one of those sermons. We want to know, why do sheep go missing? What causes a sheep to go missing? I mean, because we count and we see that so-and-so is not here, and then we count the next week and we see so-and-so is still not here, and then we count the next week and so-and-so is still not here, and I don't think we quite understand that so-and-so is now missing. And now we need to go figure out why they're missing. And I think this is the disconnect that we make in church sometimes, and we're missing the shepherd's heart. So this morning we're gonna look at why sheep go missing from our flock. And the number one reason that sheep go missing is real simple. They just wander off. In the retelling of the story in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 through 13, says, what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. They just wander away. What does wander? Well, wander is to walk or move in a leisurely, casual, or aimless fashion. And in that definition, there's a couple of things that we, the church, need to understand about our sheep. Those people that belong here that we should be instilling a shepherd's heart into so that they can look after sheep. When they go missing, it didn't happen all at once. It was something that happened gradually. I mean, usually how does it go? You'll miss a Sunday and, you know, maybe you'll make the next one. Then maybe you'll miss a couple and then you'll make the next one. And you gradually go through this thing, and then the ones that you miss are more frequent than the ones that you don't. And nobody really reaches out to say, hey, we missed you. And eventually, you just wander off. And we, the church, sometimes say, well, you know what? They've become sporadic. We just kind of let them go. And we don't understand. It all started with wandering. The definition says that they were aimless and lacked direction. And that's what we need to understand. When we have wandering sheep, this is not a sheep problem. It's a shepherd problem. Because sheep wander when they have no direction. When there's nobody there to lead them, when there's nobody there to look after them, sheep will naturally wander. They're kind of like having two-year-olds. Remember when you had two-year-olds in your life? And if you left the two-year-old alone, you know what would happen, right? They wouldn't be there when you came back. Because they were mobile and they were ready to go, and if they had no direction, they'll go find something to do, whether it be the stove or the pile of brownie crumbs in the middle of your kitchen floor or whatever it is they find to do next. They will just aimlessly wander wherever they are. And you understand, this is not a sheep problem, because sheep are doing what sheep do. They wander. It's a shepherd problem. Just like Jesus said, there are plenty of sheep. I need some shepherds. They're not going to allow my sheep to wander. We should be paying close attention to our flock on a regular basis. And when you see one wandering, that's the time to go get them. And I'm guilty of not doing this, folks. I'm guilty of letting them go and saying, they'll be back. Kind of like little Bo Peep. They'll come home wagging their tails behind them. They'll be back. No. God says, go get them. Love them. Be a shepherd. Here's the next reason a lot of sheep wander off. We touched a lot on this last week, but I didn't want to come back through here. They get mistreated. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2 says, the idols speak deceitfully. Diviners see visions and lie. These tell dreams of the false, and they give comfort to the vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for the lack of a shepherd. Oppressed. There is no shepherd, and so they just kind of feel, who cares? I've been mistreated. And so I began to leave, and well, a lot of times we miss it. Now, this doesn't mean that somebody physically abused them. This could be something as simple as a harsh word that came out in the moment. This could be as simple as somebody with a good intention just said things that really did not need to come out. And the sheep began to wander away because they got mistreated. You know, it's funny when Peter lays out the qualifications for an elder, which are the leaders of the church, which we call, I guess for our purposes here, we'll call them the shepherds among the shepherds, the ones that should be there. This is what it says the qualifications for an elder are. To the elders among you, I appealed as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under you, care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when Christ, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. A lot of times in leadership, we get the wrong approach. Did you know that sheep don't need to be told? They need to be led. Think about this. How oftentimes do we give sheep great instructions, but then give them no leadership in following those great instructions? We give them the information and think, you should get this. And God says, no. This is the idea that we're supposed to have leadership and shepherds among the sheep, and even sheep that are shepherds, and we just keep going down because we have the idea that they're here to be led. You've got to get out in front of them and let them see you. Sheep are not there for your profit, but for your care. That's what he tells the people, and that's what he tells the elders in 1 Peter. He says, they're not there for you to have financial gain. They're not there just to produce numbers in the seats. They're there because they need care. They need somebody to look after them, because if not, they will wander. They will aimlessly go wherever they want to go. Sheep are not there to serve you. You are there to lead them. That's hard. Because, you know, if I get enough sheep, then the sheep take care of me, right? When I get older and, you know, I'm not as nimble and spry as I used to be, it's up for those younger sheep to take care of the older sheep. Isn't that the model we sometimes think about? It's funny. God seems to look at it the other way. That as you get older, you have more responsibility to take care of the sheep that are behind you, to make sure they get on the right path and they don't wander. And for that, it takes a shepherd. And in case last week's sermon wasn't hard enough for you, let's just make sure you understand God is serious about this business. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I think shepherding is not serious business in the church. It's the lifeblood of the church, folks. And I have to tell you, I am 100% guilty of missing that fact. It's all about being shepherds to the sheep and making sure we don't mistreat them in the process. Of course, some sheep, the reason they're missing, it's sad to say, they got captured. I know after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away the disciples after them. And what I want you to see is that immediately there are two kind of wolves. Those that move in from the outside, and then there are those that work from the inside. And while there are two kinds of wolves, you do get, there's only one kind of result. Whether you've got a wolf that's working from the outside in, looking to pick off sheep, or whether you've got one that's among the congregation and they're picking them off from the inside, what you end up with is missing sheep because they've been carried off and captured. Jesus goes on to say that don't think you know every single one of these, because some of them will be disguised as, ironically, sheep. Watch out for false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So that means part of the church's responsibility of shepherding is that we're supposed to be looking out after the flock. And when we see the wolf and we see what's happening, then we have an obligation to examine them and say, well, maybe they're just a sheep that's angry. So maybe we just need to work with an angry sheep. But once we identify a wolf, if you had a flock of sheep, how many people would build a house for the wolf in the middle of the sheep? Only ones who want no flock. Because what is the wolf going to do? Have dinner. And one by one, he will capture the sheep and he will consume them. You see, as shepherds, it is our responsibility to take care of the conflicts in the church, to look out across the church, and when we see that conflict, confront it. Make sure it takes no sheep with them. And just know that to save some sheep, you may have to sacrifice a few wolves. That's hard. But you do understand, this is all about sheep and being shepherds. Reaching those lost sheep that are out there, those that were part of our flock and wandered away, and those that are just still wandering in their life because they've never established a relationship with Christ. We're supposed to be out finding sheep. How do I know? Because Jesus told me so. I tend to give weight to his words, don't you? Well, at least I say I give weight to his words. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Let's face it, a lot of times we look at our church and we think, the Son of Man came to seek and save those that have been found. Isn't that how we design our churches many times? Those that are here, those that are faithful, those that are working. Yeah, we should make it look good for them because they're the church. Jesus had a different thought. He said, you know what? I came to seek and save. If you've been found, I know where you are. Thank you. Now help me go find something that's lost. Because those are the ones that are supposed to be our focus. And notice, how did they find out they were missing? They counted the sheep. That's the only way. And so there is nothing wrong with counting in a church. I've heard some people say, well, you should never count. And they cite some verse that David counted and took census and God, you've missed the point. We actually should count in church. But when we count, we're not counting looking for the ones that are here. We're looking for the ones that are missing. And then when we discover they are missing, we must go get them. Literally, what should be happening is every week when we take those attendances and we see who's here, what should be produced is a list of those who are not. And that's the list that we should be dividing up amongst us and find out, why are you missing? Now, I don't mean you go say, well, you missed church this week. That's a demerit in your column. No. How about this? I miss seeing you today. Is there something wrong? Is there something going on in your life we need to help you with? We miss you. You're part of our flock. I want to shepherd you and make sure you don't wander away, that you don't feel like we're mistreating, that you don't feel like you're captured. We want to make sure that we don't miss. We have to go to them. You do realize that sometimes when you go to them, you're going to have to humble yourself a little bit. Because it's quite often that you'll go to them and start talking and you'll find out maybe you're part of the problem. Been there here recently. And when you discover that you're part of the problem, those words have to sincerely come out of your mouth. I apologize. Let me see what I can do to help. Now, we do need to understand that sometimes people are just tired of being part of a flock and they wander to another flock, and that's okay because we're not just about finding the sheep just to get them back here. We just want to get them where they're safe. We'll talk about that in a minute. So you may actually have to go, and you may have to apologize. And the apology just may be, I'm sorry I didn't miss you sooner. I mean, that's important. This may take time. You may not get them back on the first try that you go see them. It may take a few calls. You have to earn their trust once again. And you know what? It will take prayer. I think this is one thing that in our prayer time that we don't do enough. How often do we pray for the sheep that are missing? Not often. We'll pray for the sheep that are sick. And sometimes we'll pray for the sheep that are confused. But we understand if we pray for the sheep that are missing, we know what God's going to say next, right? Good. Sick them. Go get them. Stop just praying for them and go pray with them. Go and find your sheep and bring them back home. Be the shepherd that God called you to be. And remember, your goal is not to get them here. Your goal is to get them to safety. Sometimes we may stumble across a sheep that has wandered. They're so far away, but we find that, you know what? We can't get them back here. That's okay. Just get them somewhere safe. If it means another sheep pen, you should be okay with that. Because your goal is not here. Your goal is safety, where sheep will be protected by the flock, protected by the shepherd. See, this idea of shepherding is God's intention for the church. This is what it says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. God posted a help wanted ad. Real simple one. Shepherds wanted. Then he said, apply within. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to run into the church and ask, where's the application? Sign me up. I want to be a shepherd. The apply within is right inside of your heart. We, notice I didn't say you, we have to make the decision that we are going to be the shepherds God called us to be. And it begins in my heart. I have to develop a heart of compassion for sheep that are lost. Isn't that how Jesus started? All the way back in that first verse I showed you, it said he looked out at the crowds that were gathering, and there were so many coming. And as he began to look out at the crowds that were gathering, it says he felt compassion for them. He realized they had needs. They were struggling. They were lost. They were sick. They were being abused. They were being captured. And he looked at their situation. He didn't say, dirty, smelly old sheep, go take a bath and come back to me when you get your life straight. It says, you know what? He had compassion for them. How can that be? Because Jesus was, by his own definition, the good shepherd, the one that was willing to lay down his life for each and every sheep on a cross. Jesus was the good shepherd that left his home in heaven to come here and seek and save the lost. Jesus was the good shepherd that did not leave any stone unturned and did not have anybody that he excluded when he said, I come to save all. And here's the amazing thing that we miss sometimes because we want titles. We want definitions. Here's one for you. Then Jesus looked at his followers and said, follow me. Do what I did. And you do understand if you do that, that means congratulations. You're hired. You're a shepherd. God expects you to go find some sheep and shepherd them into being the next generation of sheep, of shepherds. Again, that's hard to keep straight, isn't it? Because you know what? I am a sheep, but I am a shepherd. So I'm going to ask, I'll give you your mic back in a minute, Lynn, but I'm going to ask the worship team.